Well, I've been traveling a lot, and this past week we were in Dallas, Texas, and we screened our film all kind of places, and we had screened it in Dallas, and a group of people at some theaters over there, a group of people came out afterwards and introduced themselves and said they worked for President Bush at the Bush Center, and the guy said, "Can I get a copy of your film? I want to give it to the president." They said, "He'll really like this." I was like, "Oh, okay, sure." And anyway, about 2 weeks later, we get an invitation to go meet him at an event. So that's what we did this weekend. We were back there. And
yeah.
Actually, I had more fun, really, after we got our picture with him. I had more fun hanging out with the Secret Service guys talking tactical disarms and I'm like, "Hey, can I touch your gun?" "Oh, no." "Okay." He said no. Okay. You guys, okay, a little bit of background about me. I'm a professional martial artist by profession, but I'm sure you could tell just looking at this machine. I hold a black belt, a 7-degree black belt in karate and jiu-jitsu mix in Keiichi-do. We actually reside here in Southern California now in Old Town Marietta. We got a club over there. So if anybody wants to train, become lethal street ninjas, you can come see our instructors. I'm hardly there just to beat on them every once in a while. But I never thought I would be standing up here in front of folks like y'all telling my story or doing my deal. Never. Not like this. So I'm as about as surprised as y'all. And, am I talking too fast right now? Because sometimes I just get crazy. And I'm originally from Louisiana, so if you detect an accent, I got one. It's funny, this past year when I was speaking, somebody actually came up to me after an event and said, "You talk like a swamp person." I mean, I was like, "I've heard some weird things, but thank you." Okay. And then I was at a different place, and sure enough, somebody came up to me. I was a different side of the country, and they said, "You talk just like the swamp people." I was like, "What? Well, you ain't, you know, what about this?" I was getting all defensive, paranoid. And they could tell I was kind of off put. They're like, "No, no, there's a TV show called Swamp People." I was like, "What?" I thought they were lying. I thought, who's going to make a TV show about swamp people? But I went back to the hotel, and I was flipping channels because we don't have the big cable at my house. And boom, I come across this guy in a skiff, in a P-Row boat, with a rifle. And they're holding an alligator, and I hear him saying, "Hey, shoot him, Junior, shoot him in the head." And I was like, "Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh." I was like, "Oh, no wonder." And then I found out it's a big show. And then I started getting real self-conscious because you watch them people. I was like, "Dang, I don't know if I want to be a swamp person. I got most of my teeth. I mean, is this how people perceive me?" I mean, where I'm from, when they see blended family, that's like you're marrying your cousin, you know, type of deal. So I'm thinking, man. And I was getting ready to speak in front of a big group. It was a, you know, fancy schmancy group of people educating all that type of stuff. And I was kind of nervous in the background because I was like, I need to enunciate my words. I need, don't be like a swamp person, Victor. You know, don't cross that way. These are highfalutin folks. And right before I came out, my cell phone, I got a text. I clicked it open. It was my brother. I got an older brother. And it's a picture. I click on it. True to fact. It's him with a cut-off shirt, cut-off jean, like Daisy Duke shorts or something. And he's squatting down, and he's got four alligators in front of him all dead, and he got a big knife in his hand. He said, I killed them all with my knife, brother. I'm like, oh my gosh, we are swamp people. So I've embraced it, folks. I have embraced my swampness. I ain't running from it. You know, we're taking over net. We're taking over reality TV. Of course, you got just swamp people, but then you got Cajun Pawn Stars. You got Duck Dynasty. Man. And you know what's funny? I'm going to just tell y'all. I don't tell people. I had a network contact us to do a reality show on my life and ministry where I go and travel. Kind of like the Cajun preacher evangelist dude. So I'm like, we're talking to him. We're actually talking to him about it. Can you believe it? Next time, there may be a film crew right here. So we'll see. There's the third group of people that contacted us to do it. And I went and met with the network president. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Let me pray. How much are you going to pay, man? Oh, yeah, you be wondering about the checks, too. Don't tell them. Get all spiritual. Jesus. I ain't religious, people. I'm a Jesus person. You know, I can't stand the religious spirit type people. Do you know what I'm talking about? The kind that they always trying to look so good and say the right. When they pray, they're all like, you know, Father. They're praying King James. I'm like, you don't even speak King James. Why are you praying it? Just talk normal. But you got to be careful because in the church, you bring in the world's mentality into the church, but coat it. You shellac it with spiritual stuff. And that's what I call like a spirit of religion. It ain't here, I can tell you. I've been to some churches. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And but you got to be careful because people start doing image maintenance in the church. Just like you do in the world, putting up a front, and you come in and you're not even for real in here. If you can't be for real in here, where? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying pour out all your stuff to everybody. You know, come up front and these were my sins this week. Because not everybody walks with the Lord close in church. Amen? And you got to be careful even who you ask to pray for you. You know, also becomes a gossip train. Let's just pray for Sister Jan. Did you hear what she did? Let's pray for Brother Bob's porn addiction. It's out of control this week. So we have to be real, but we have to look to Christ as our source. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Who is your hope in? Our hope has to be in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, by the power of God's Spirit who resurrected him. He's the only one that you can really put your hope in my opinion. I mean, this world's pretty rough. And it you know, the older you get, the quicker you realize, oh, that ain't going to work. That don't do it. They stink. Right? I'm not pointing to the sound booth. Sorry, man. I just, you're doing a, yeah. There. No sound, no message. We love you, brother. So, but before we get into the scripture, you want me to do a couple little karate things? Yeah. look at her. Get it going, brother. Okay, so I need a volunteer. Now, I work with juvenile offenders primarily, so I like teenagers. Any teenagers want to come up here and get beat on? Oh, wow. Either you are loved or you're a juvenile offender. Hey, buddy. Nice to meet you. Okay. All right, don't worry. This doesn't hurt me at all. Now, before I get Justin to help me with my demo stuff, let me tell you a little bit about what I do. I spend time going into youth prisons around the country, sharing my story, giving them the hope that lies within me, which I found in the person of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? I deal with the top 3-5% chronic or violent offenders. To put in perspective, I sat with a 12-year-old girl and put a shotgun to her mama's face and killed her. I've slept with a 14-year-old girl who killed her own baby. The reason being, she said, that ain't my baby. That's my brother baby. I don't want my brother baby. Y'all getting the picture? Slept with a girl who was locked up for 6 years since she was 13 years old. But the reason why, she could have got out in a year, but she kept reoffending while she was in because she didn't want to get out. It was safer for her to be in a girl's maximum security facility as a teenager. Why? Her mom used to pimp her out to get money for her drugs. Huh. I see stuff and I hear the stories that most of you would not even believe. Your mind couldn't process it. But some of you would. It's beyond anything right or good or even bad. It just falls into the category of pure evil. And you know what? These kids, many of them, they never had a chance out the gate. But what you gonna do? What do we do? Do we just, if they offend, do we just lock them up? And I mean, what about the girl from Colombia that I sat with? She was a mule, a drug mule. She swallowed a lot of drugs and balloons to come across. And then she was caught and incarcerated here in the U.S. She had to do it or they were going to kill her family. Do you understand? So what do we do with these kids? There's over 200,000 locked up tonight in the U.S. 200,000. That's an epidemic, people. But nobody wants to look that way. Because our world is hard enough and well, they did wrong. You know what? God loves them kids. Loves them. And honestly, I never met a bad kid yet. I mean, we're all fallen by nature. I met many kids that didn't have hope and wanted it. And then that's what I was able to share with them, hope, a living hope. Right? And but when you go in front of them kids, they're tough, dude. They look tough like you. Although you're kind of model actor tough looking. Right? Seriously. I just was on the TV show, the set, The Mentalist. Anybody ever watch that? Yeah, I was just on that set. Don't tell me how I got there, but hanging out with them actor types and doing my demonstration for them. And it was fun. All their stuntmen, it was kind of fun. You look like you'd be on one of them shows. But these kids I face, when I first get in front of them, you know, they're like this. They look at me like, what you going to talk about, White Wonder Bread? Man, I'll jump up the crowd, man, I'll beat your face in. And that's just the girls. And I'm like, I guess it's going to be a tough crowd today. I've actually had guards tell me, are you really going to tell them about Jesus? Well, these kids will eat you up. I'm going, yeah. I said, well, I mean, y'all mace them if they get after me or something. But I don't know what else to tell them except the hope that I have within me. Because he's a living hope. He's real. He's alive. And he conquered death. That's somebody you can talk about. And so we reached them kids and we even reached the YouTube people now. Because that's, I do a Gundestorm, and I'll do it for you today. But it's considered the world's fastest Gundestorm. Does that sound impressive? I gave myself the title. That's why I put it with a question mark. I've never had anybody challenge me. Like, is it really? I don't know. But it became a YouTube exploded. I think as of today, we have over 3.5 million views of it. And it is, we're getting about 150,000 views a day, which is amazing. But that video, I put these little martial art clips so it leads people to ultimately, like we have a video that says, learn Victor Mark's success for living. And they click on that and I'm telling them about Jesus. And believe me, I got haters. Holy smokes, I got haters. There's a lot of tough haters on YouTube because they don't put their picture or their name up there, so they're pretty tough behind them keyboards, right? I mean, I've had atheists, Satanists, religious people, all the crazy ones, right? But what's cool is because of my story, because people are like, ah. One guy come up, he said, I don't agree with Victor. He was all the other people that are hating on me, this guy comes up and makes a comment against them. But this is what he said. He goes, I don't believe what Victor believes. Theologically, we're worlds apart. He said, I'm a shaman priest. Okay. I was like, oh. And then he goes, but let me tell you, if you read all of his story and find out where he came from and what he's doing now to help people in this world, especially youth, because of his claim to know Jesus, he goes, that's a Jesus I can love and follow. I was like, go shaman, go shaman. Oh, you haters out there. What's funny, some people type in stuff like, oh man, that don't know what I can do. And then I'll come in and say, hi, I'm the man in the video. What's up? And they're like, oh no, your technique is good. I'll say, post your own. Let me see what you got. So this one, I do this technique now. My real gun, we had to ship it Friday, sorry, to Dallas because we're doing a TV show. But I got my old faithful little wooden gun. Look, that's my little practice gun right there. But one wrong move and you can get a splinter. And it'll get infected. Your mom has to get the needle. You're like, ah. I'll take another shot of vodka. Come on. At least that's what I do. No, I'm just joking. Okay. So why don't you stand right here. All right. So look, if somebody got a gun and come at y'all, all I can tell you to do is give them what they want and then run. All right. Don't be like, ooh, I hate violence. But I've trained for, somebody asked me how long I've been training. It's almost 30 years now. Man, I'm feeling old. But I've had the privilege of training everybody from the law enforcement to military units, from Force Recon, the Marine Corps. I was in the Marines, to Delta Force in the Army, special operators, from SEAL team members to, you name it, Rangers, CIA. I've had a good run with my career. Now I kind of just visit with kids in prisons and speak like this. But I do this technique to grab them kids' attention, right? Because you get in front of them, they're like, karate master, you want to do something. Because they all look at me and go, I'll pound your face in. And they probably can. Look, I've had my face pounded. Look at this. I've had my nose broke so many times. So I tell people, I ain't here to tell you I'm tough. I'm just here to tell you I can block good with my face. And unfortunately, I used to fight a lot. Had a guy hit me one time, ka-dunk, and I went, And he goes, well, because my nose went right down. I was like, oh, happy. Here we go. So here's a good song. There's all kind now. You can get out the way of the round, turn it back into the person, make it discharge, which would hurt his feelings. If it's in your back, you turn around, boom, poke him in the eye, turn, part his hair. I didn't have no hair. But this is the one that people like the best. It's a gun to some where I'm doing a strip, okay? And it it's not hard. I grab the weapon, and I'm going to hit him like that. I don't know. Now, this one will break your finger, so keep it right there. I tell you what. You do like this. Take your hands. When y'all see me move, you know, like from here. When you see me like, what's up? You clap your hands like that, okay? Here we go. And, okay, that wouldn't work. All right, let me try. Let me try a fancy kick. As soon as y'all see me move. Are there gun owners here? Or are y'all just angry? Okay, so for my hands here, when y'all see me move. They shot you. Let's give him a big hand. Okay. Okay, I'll do one more thing for you guys. Speed hitting, because people typically like that. If the person was going to grab me, go ahead and grab my shirt. This is... Don't fill me up, but just... Easy. I know it'll work out, but back off! Now, looky here. I go against joints. In our system, we make the joints go in a way that they shouldn't, because a lot of times you can hit people, and like that guy over there, you hit that guy, he just kind of smile and keep coming at you. It looks like a bouncer, right? Like, oh, that's all you got. No. So what we do is we work the joints on people to make them go in a way to open them up so that we can hit other target areas that make them go, ah, okay? So, but we do speed hitting. So if he grabbed me, there you go, and end on that knee. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you, man. God bless you, Lord. The YouTube video that's got all those hits, I'm actually in a youth prison. It was me and my wife. There's my lovely bride over there against the wall. Affectionately known by me alone as my righteous hottie. Okay. But you guys, we were in a youth prison, and I told my wife, I said, just record me when I do this. This was years ago. So she put out a little camera, clicked it on, and one of the inmates came up and held the big gun against my head. When I snatched it from him, he goes, whoa! He screamed. Everybody started laughing. And we've had fun with it. That video actually was picked up in Japan. And Japan's top, one of their top game shows is actually flying a crew out here in a couple of weeks to Marietta to record me doing all my skills. And they're going to air it on their TV show, their game show in Japan, and have their contestants try to mimic me, I guess, or something. They're like, oh. But they're paying me, so I'll do it. Give me that yen. Okay. Or is that Chinese? Okay. Let me get out my best weapon here. This is, be careful. Oh, there we go. You guys, I believe in that one. I believe in the Bible. Because that's the one that's, this is a true and tried weapon. The Bible says it's, it actually says that the Bible is God's Spirit, His sword. It's what the Holy Spirit uses as a sword, which is the Word of God, which, that's pretty impressive. So let's look at one verse this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I would like to read it to you in the original Greek. Are you pulling a swamp people thing on me? Okay, I'd like to read it, but I don't know Greek, so we'll just do the English. 1 Peter 1, wait, what is it? I'm in 2 Peter, that's the wrong one. I still get lost in this. Oh, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It's so funny, when I was a young Christian, the guy up front would say, turn the verse, Peter. And I would like, oh. And I'd start doing the look like this. And I couldn't find. I was like, man, maybe mine doesn't have it in here. And people would be, you know, pages would stop turning. And I'd be like, oop, it's stop time. And I don't know where I would be. I'd just hold the Bible real close to me. And somebody would look at me in concern like, oh. And I'd be like, what are you looking at? Don't cheat. We're in church right here. Get your own. And then I found out you can just look it up in the front. It says where it is. How funny, our pride. That's that spiritual pride, right? Oh, just say, I don't know where it is. I love when new believers don't care, because they don't know you're supposed to care. They're just raw. They just love what Jesus has done. But listen to this scripture. This is sacred scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm going to read that again for two reasons. One, it's worthy to be read twice. And two, some of y'all never read scripture this week at all, so I got to read it again for your devotion. Here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You guys, this is rich. I mean, think about this. Talking about God is abundant in mercy. How many people really believe they can't go to God and ask for forgiveness because they sin again and again, they blow it? And look at me. God ain't like an amusement park where you get one coupon to get on that ride and that's it. No, it's different. It's almost like you got, you know, one of those bands that gives you unlimited access to the park, but he'll band you up everywhere. Because of his blood and what he shed on the cross, you'll never run out of coupons of grace and mercy for God, ever. The devil will tell you different, and so will people. But look at me. Our walk with God is not about perfection, but it is about direction. So here's what happens. The enemy of our soul, the devil, which I believe in the devil, don't worry, me saying his name won't conjure him to be here. A lot of people are like, hey, don't say it too loud. He may hear. The devil's here already, y'all. I mean, his demons, they float around. They're all trying to distract you. Come on. We live in a perpetual state of spiritual warfare. That's what the Bible says. We're in a battle. You're in a battleground, not a playground. When you accept Christ, boom, there it's on. So what happens? Maybe you come to faith. And the reason why I'm trying to encourage y'all with this is because I love to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's I feel like it's my gift and calling as an evangelist. Boom, I get it. And although not everybody's called to be evangelist, we're all called to do the work of an evangelist, right? To share with non-believers about the hope that's in us. I mean, don't be a bonehead about it. Because you know what hurts non-believers coming to Christ probably more than anything else? Christians. I mean, don't you know some Christians? You're like, oh my gosh, shut up. Or at least take the sticker off your car. Because you're going to stumble all these non-believers, right? If that's the best, I'm talking from experience, because as a kid, there were people who called themselves Christians that really, I'm like, well, if that's the best that Jesus has to offer, forget it. Forget about it. Just a side note, I was in Hawaii, and we had stopped, because we lived there for years, but we had stopped by a business. My friend went in. I was sitting in the vehicle, and this next to us was a strip club, right? Naked women. And this truck pulls into the parking lot, kind of right in front of me. It was a shared big parking lot. And the truck pulls up, and there's a Christian fish on it. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I hope you don't go in there, brother. And he got a cap on, and he got glasses, and it's the middle of the day. So somebody's taking a lunch break to go see some nudie women, right? And he's like, he gets out, and you see him kind of creep in. And I'm heartbroken, and then I'm mad, too. I'm like, dude, what? Come on. You don't have to do that. I'm thinking, man, somebody, you're trying to hide yourself, but there's no such thing as hidden sin. Because God sees it. I mean, it's better to be open and go, God, help me. I'm starting. But, you know, I was like, I want to trip this dude out. So I got out the car, went to his truck, and I pulled the little Jesus fish off. And then I went and put it on his side mirror. That's wrong, I know, but it's funny. And, you know, just so happened that I was still there when he came out. So he wasn't in there long. I was praying. I was praying the whole time for him. All of a sudden, I see him come out, and he gets in his truck. And never forget, he shuts the door. He starts it, and he goes to put it in reverse, and then he looks, and he stops, and he sees it. And he's looking everywhere, and you see him pull it off. I'm like, I think he knows the Holy Spirit came over there. Like, I love you. You busted. Now repent. But the deal is, God's not waiting to crack people over the head, believers, when we sin. It's the farthest thing from the truth. He's actually a loving Father that's saying, oh, come on. I got better for you than that. That's, you're putting your hope in the wrong thing. You're going after the, that won't do it. And you know, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Pornography is a very big issue in the church. Not only the world, but the church. Women, for women too. But I'm going to address guys. It's never been so accessible. Men are visually, you know, stimulated in any way. That's the weakness. But man, the devil, he's up the ante. Because if he can get men's affection to that, it takes it away from their wives. Or it makes them want to go do those things when they date a girl. And that's wrong. Women's never supposed to be an object. They're sisters. They're, right? And come on. It's sad. I tell people, man, think about it. The day some of you who got gray hair, remember the worst TV shows we ever saw? In my day, it was like Leave It to Beaver. Yeah, I Love Lucy. I mean, the most lustful show I saw was Gilligan's Island. Because, you know, Marianne was looking kind of cute on that. And you never heard a cuss word. Never. But yet today, you get 1,000 channels of anything. And your kid at home, tack, 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 can just be inundated. You know how much that desensitizes a boy to look at a woman like, you're not a real person, you're just a thing. I don't know women that just want to be a thing. And believe me, I've known and helped tons of girls and women who are prostitutes. And they still don't want to be looked at as a thing or an object, right? It's like, I'm a person. We got to show honor to females. I tell guys, I tell young men, I don't care if you go out with a girl and she even wants to get next to you because of insecurity and all that. And she's like, you know, don't. Be a man. Be a godly man and say, oh, cut that out. Come on. We say that for marriage. Rawr. When you get married, let the tiger out the tank. Rawr, rawr, rawr. All you want. I talk to y'all like I talk to those kids in jail. I tell them, my wife and I told my kids, when you want experience on sex or advice, come to daddy. I'm an expert. I've been married almost 24 years, and I got 5 children. Trust me, I know the deal. And, you know, some people laugh, but I tell them, I've never cheated on my wife, and I've never been cheated on. And you know who claps like that? It's the biggest applause I get in jails every time. From players and pimps and hoes, they clap because they know that that's right and that's good, and that's really what they want. I never forget a kid who was 18 years old, been in for 5 years, and when they took me to visit with him, they had shut down the whole prison because of a riot. It was a youth prison. And I brought a coach, an NFL coach with me. And I told head of security, I said, dude, we just drove all this way. He said, man, it's bad. The gangs are blah. I said, let me visit with one kid. He goes, okay. And he smiled. I was like, oh, I didn't want that smile. He's like, come on. He takes me into security, which is lockdown, which is where they separate the worst of the kids, right? He brings us to this big steel door and has a sign, don't open up without two guards. He puts his skeleton key in there. He goes, have fun. He walks out. I'm like, oh, shoot. And I look in there, and there's this kid, a big black kid, and he's pacing back and forth like a leper. I'm like, who, me? I told the coach, you come on up in front, buddy. I said, you bigger, man. If he hits you, just kind of hang on to him, and then I'll come in there with a little bit of, after you wear him out. And man, when I opened that door, he says, who are you and what do you want? I was like, I didn't know what to say. I don't have like pre-made up lines. I'm always just like, Lord, what do you want me to say? Tell me quickly. And I said, do you pray? And he stopped and goes, what? I said, do you ever pray? And he goes, I don't know. Yeah, I guess sometime. I said, do you like football? He goes, of course I like football. I said, then maybe God heard your prayer. You want to meet an NFL Super Bowl winning coach? He goes, you lying. I was like, no, I ain't. No, and I grabbed the guy, and I bring Coach out in front. Coach, I'd made him wear one of his Super Bowl rings. I called and said, Coach, man, wear one of your rings. He's all, now, Victor, I don't like to wear them rings. I said, I know you don't, Coach, but you got a lot of impressive kids. Good day. He goes, I don't know. I said, well, bring one. I'll wear it, man. Are you kidding me? I'll walk around with it. So Coach came out in front, and that kid said, really? Yeah, and I introduced him and all that type of stuff. And he said, that's a real Super Bowl ring? He said, yeah, son, you want to try it on? And he pulled that big old thing off, and that kid put it on, and he's like, no. He's like, dang. And that actually opened up the door for us to share with him. And that kid had been in 5 years for beating another kid to death with his hands at 13 years old. And when I asked him, I said, tell me about your past. Where's your dad? He looked at me and said, my dad's in jail for life for trying to kill me when I was 5 years old. What a 2x4. Tell me about your mom. So she a crack hole. I said, you got any brothers and sisters? I got one brother doing life in Oklahoma for killing a man. Man, I was like, you depressed me. No, I just said, I'm like, I realize this guy got no hope. No hope. And I shared my story with him, which I'll tell y'all in a couple of minutes. And he got hope. I said, man, you got any dreams left in you? Because it don't matter. The toughest guys I've ever seen, these kids, they still, as long as they're not cut off, they got a little dream. He goes, for real? I said, for real, man. I said, come on. You're going to be getting out one day. I said, I know you killed a dude, but, I mean, do you like to kill people? He goes, no, man. I didn't want to kill him. I mean, I lost control. I couldn't stop. I said, well, then this will pass. I said, you got any dreams left in you? He said, for real? He said, you ain't going to laugh at me? I'm like, I ain't going to laugh at you. You big soul-up kid, man. You may come on and eat my head off or something. He said, if I can have anything I want, he said, I won't be out here, and I won't go to college, and I won't be a graphic designer. And he said, I wasn't laughing, so he goes, he felt safe. He goes, and I'll tell you what, I want a woman. I want to get married. I want to get married to one woman. I don't want to be a player. And he said, I want to have kids and live in a house with a white fence and drive a minivan. I almost started laughing at the minivan. I didn't see that coming. I was like, say you're going to put rims or something on them, man. I mean, in a system, a sound system. But these kids, they know what's good. Unlike a lot of Christian kids who, man, they trying to warm their hands to the fire of this world, trying to be like everything on TV and what they hear on the radio. It's like, shut up. I go to Christian schools, and man, I'm like, dang, y'all out of control. Christian schools, private Christian colleges, I'm like, really? So that's what I'm saying. Christians can be the worst example to non-believers, or they can be the best. And I saw one of the best when I was in the United States Marine Corps, and God was drawing me to himself, and I had a friend I served with, J.J. Ramirez. He was half Mexican, half Indian. So he's like a Mexican-Indian something. And he's a pretty tough old boy. But he knew the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. And you know what? Every week he'd invite me to go to church. And I mean, church, I was like, oh. But I saw he had something different. So I was like, well, man, I need something. What I got, chasing women ain't working. One, because they're faster than me. Two, fighting and drinking and partying, it ain't bringing me happiness. I have regret. And I knew he had no regret following Jesus. Did he go through tough times? You better believe it. Because that's part of the Christian faith. Trials and tribulations. We promise that. It ain't a walk through the park. But I knew he had something. And every week when he said, you want, I'd be like, well, I was just going out. It's ladies' night in San Diego. We're going to do a little dancing. And he looked at me. He never judged me. He just say, Victor, be careful. Try to have a good time. He'd always say that because I was like pouring acid in my face when I'm passed out in the back of my car. I'd hear his words, try to have a good time. Yeah, right, JJ, you know I ain't going to have a good time. But you know, the hope of Jesus is the only thing that I have. People have failed me. Drugs have failed me. Money has failed me. My health has failed me. My own code of ethics and morals, I have failed. And it wasn't until June of 1986 that I gave my life to Christ. And because of my background and why all these things failed me, my father, my biological dad, was a drug dealer and he was a pimp. And he didn't claim me as his kid. When my mom was pregnant, he said, that ain't my kid. Because she was, you know, doing crazy stuff. He ended up going to be a practicing warlock and getting the occult. My mom would marry 6 times. I went to 14 schools. I lived in 17 different houses. And at 5 years old, I was caught by a child molester in Mendenhall, Mississippi in 1970. And I was locked in a commercial cooler and left for dead, so that I wouldn't be able to tell anybody. My family would find me after hours of being in there. And then they found him, the guy who had abused me, and they tried to kill him. Well, it looked like they were trying to kill him, but they didn't. They hung him from a tree behind my mamaw's house. But he didn't die, they cut him down. I'd go on to have a stepfather who would be abusive to me from the ages of 3 to 7. Horrible stuff. I've been electrocuted. I've been dunked in a tub till I passed out. I had a gun put to my head at 7 years old with the hammer back, and him would tap it on the side of my head and tell me if I ever told anybody what he'd done to me, he'd kill me and make it look like an accident. It affected me deeply. He would end up going to prison for importing drugs from out of the country, and then he ended up escaping the prison. He was on the NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw. So we're like, hey, there's our daddy. People are going, that's not a good thing. My mother would marry another guy who ended up, he killed a guy and went to Chino prison for murder. My grandfather died in a mental hospital. And my other grandfather shot his wife in public and killed himself. So that's my background. Thank God the Marine Corps was there to take me in and give me a weapon. I mean, I was like, oh, can I shoot people? Like, boy, you got issues, don't you? Yes, sir. Come on in. And look, that was back when the Marine Corps was hurting for guys, okay? Now it's very difficult to get in. But I did use that weapon as a source of, and from 546 yards in a prone position, I could put 10 rounds on the able target of a man without a scope. So you see, I was driven. I had a lot of things drive me to become good at martial arts, to be able to do disarms, to all that type of stuff. But I was still empty. Because success and significance are two different things. And it wasn't until I met Christ Jesus that I felt significance for my life and purpose and passion. And actually, let me close with this. Guess who really brought me to church to hear the gospel in a way that affected me, still does to this day? My biological dad. The drug dealer pimp, warlock dude, he wrote me a letter and said his life had changed and he'd come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And I was like, no way. I thought, what's the angle on this? There was no angle. He invited me to come visit him, and while I was a Marine, I went to visit him. He invited me to a Baptist church, you know, and I heard that Jesus loved me and that his resurrection was for me if I'd accept it and ask for forgiveness. And that day, June 22nd, 1986, I surrendered my life to Jesus. And look, I got cleansed from my sin because I stopped blaming others. First time I stopped blaming others. And I had a lot of people to blame. But you know what? Bitterness, it's like drinking poison and hoping they die. It only hurts you. There is no freedom in bitterness. And I decided to give it up. And I thank God that when you come to faith, it's not about perfection, right? But direction. Because that day, I went to the altar. My eyes were leaking. I was trying to hold it together, but I couldn't. I felt God's love on me. And I never felt God's love. That's how it happened for me. It happens in different ways for everybody. But even that day, a man come up to pray for me, one of the elders, and when he touched me on my shoulder, I got triggered. I turned around, I jumped up, and I grabbed him, and I pulled my fist back. I said, you touch me again, dude, I'll break your jaw. How's that for a salvation experience? And he was freaked out. And my dad had come on the front row, and he had his arms out. He goes, I know the boy. You ought to leave him alone. He'll hit you. He said, just let God deal with this one. And he did. And later in life, as a believer, God would call me into a deeper walk with him of trust and faith to be his disciple, a disciple of Jesus, which is where it's at, people, following God with everything. And you know what? He told me, I was traveling, speaking, and I was going through one of the hometowns I was raised in, and then I knew the Spirit of God told me, go find your stepfather that abused you and forgive him. And I was like, oh. Long story longer, that man was sick, and I was the one that helped bring him to the hospital. Had to put him in a blanket and put him into the van. Well, let's get a little higher. I was there when the doctor said, he's got 2 weeks, and he was dying. He was all tore up. And here I am standing over this man thinking, look at me. I ain't no kid hiding in a closet no more. I ain't no kid with a gun on my head. You crazy. I'm a full-grown man, martial arts master, Marine. I can end you right now. We don't have to wait 2 weeks. And the Lord said, show him my love. I thought, he don't deserve your love, God. And the gentle spirit of God's voice says, neither do you. That's the truth. None of us do. It's the grace of God and his mercy. And you know what? I had to choose that day to forgive him or show him. And I said, all right, Lord. So I started loving that man. I read him scripture. I stayed there. My wife, she'd come with me. And then the last day I'd see him, he told his nurse, hey, nurse. He could barely talk. He goes, this is my son. He said, I'm proud of him. I never heard those words. He said, he's been worried about my eternity, but he doesn't have to worry no more. He said, I made it right with God last night. I was blown away. It was such a holy moment, the nurse actually backed out of the room. I looked at him, and I was like, I couldn't believe what I just heard. This evil, violent, vile man had surrendered his life to Jesus. You know why? Because he had been shown God's love. Not just told, but shown it. And you know what? I thought, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? The Lord said, tell him you love him. I looked at him, I said, Dad, I love you. And he looked up at me. He said, boy, I love you too. I never heard them words. I didn't know what else to do, what else to say. So I grabbed a pillow. And I just was going to put it over his... Oh, that's wrong. Y'all shouldn't laugh at that right there. I don't like to be too heavy. Guess what? He got free. He changed his address not long after that. He got free. But guess who else got free? Hey, Johnny, what do we have? Freedom. Bing, 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 bing. He chose the right door. Because you can, look, people who've offended you and done you wrong, you can hope they die and you'll get better. And they'll get better. They still be up in your mind because the enemy uses that to torment you. Freedom. So let me close with this. If you have bitterness against somebody that maybe you've just remembered here in the service or you will remember later, you need to choose to forgive them. Choose to give up your right to hurt them for hurting you. When you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean you let them off the hook. Do you understand? It doesn't even mean you'll be reconciled. But it means you give up your right to hurt them back. You're not minimizing what they've done. But he said, I'm giving that up. God will take care of you. Your only chance is the cross. God is just. And you know what? Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you honestly do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's my question. Why not? Why not? Do you not trust him? He's the one you can trust. He's the one you can trust. Hope, mercy, and his resurrection from the dead proves it. You can trust him with your life, with your eternity. Oh, anybody, it's him. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. God, I thank you for just you affording me the time to come here to this church. Lord, you know everywhere we've been, and this church wasn't on our radar, so you made it happen. And you did it for the people here right now. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here that you're speaking to give up their right to hurt someone for hurting them, whether it was a sibling, a spouse, a parent, a caregiver, a grandparent, Lord, an old boyfriend, or just someone they've never known but they hurt them, I pray you would free them this morning. If that's you and you say, Victor, gosh, I feel like that's me. I feel like God's saying, give up your right. And it doesn't have to be heinous abuse. It could just be backbiting. It could be lies. It could be character assassination. Whatever it is, give it up to the Lord so you can be free. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand up real high for me? God bless you. Okay, God bless all of you. There's a lot of you here. Good. Good. God bless you. You know, some of the toughest people I've ever met in my life, including SEAL team members, they've been driven, or football players, or they've been driven because of past pain. And they became hard, but I've seen them set free. So guys, yeah, it's not an issue of being wimpy when you surrender. It's actually strength. God's strength in your life. If you're here this morning and you say, Victor, I do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way. Maybe I go to church. Maybe I've heard it, but today's the day I feel like God's drawing me to surrender my life to him, to be his disciple, to surrender all I am to all of him. Would you pray for me? If that is you, please lift your hand so I can see and I'll pray for y'all. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? You know God's speaking to you. Just surrender to him this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? This is a quiet moment of salvation. You know God's speaking to your heart. Boy, you got a lump in your throat and your heart's beating. You can trust him because he loves you. Anybody else? Raise your hand and I'll pray for you. God bless you, man. God bless you, young lady. It's okay. You can trust him. you can surrender. He will never fail you. Anyone else, pray for me, Victor. I want to surrender my life to Christ today. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, sir, in the back. Good, I see you. Good. This is good. Anyone else? I want to make sure. I don't want to shut that door until everybody's done. God bless you right here in the front row. Good. Anyone else? Just put your hand up and put it down. We'll pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead your wonderful blood over this sanctuary and a seamless canopy to protect every heart, every mind, every soul here, so your Holy Spirit can do the work. Lord, I pray that first you root out, Lord, the bitterness that has taken hold in some people's lives, but you've shown them today's the day to be set free. I pray that they would give you that bitterness as an offering, Lord, to trust you with it and to give up their right. Lord, you're a just, loving God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in them that would surprise them. May there be fruit from their life, fruit for freedom. God, I thank you for those who've indicated their need to surrender their life to you for salvation. I pray that you would cleanse them from all their sin, from the inside out, Lord, and the outside in. You'd show them they are a new creature this morning, now. I pray you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit, enabling them to live beyond what they've ever done. God, give them peace, give them purpose, give them power. May they be their greatest testimony. Father, I pray for freedom for any of those Christians here who've maybe caught up in porn or addictions. I pray you show them you came to set them free. Lord, I thank you for this church. I pray that you would bless it, that this would be a lighthouse. God, that the body here would be excited to reach out, to bring people, Lord, to every service, God, so that they would know they can hear the truth here. And Lord, lastly, I just pray for maybe the one or two people here that are hard. They don't believe it. They don't want to. God, soften their heart. Pursue them with such love and tenacity that their hardness would break because of the power of your love. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.